Okay, I only have a couple of questions, but I think you might end up answering them. For everybody, this is Bond. We've got Perry Marshall on the line. Say hi, Perry.
Howdy. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. We also have Kevin Halbert on the line, too, because what we're going to do here is Kevin knows, handles all the electronic, you know, functions of the Gary Halbert letter, all the postings and so forth. So it's always going to be, it's beneficial to have him here. I got a couple of questions for Perry. We've all seen, the basics of the Google ad that I was thinking of running, and we're going to roll with basically his suggestions and with whatever he goes with. I had a couple questions I figured that we could start off with, and then I'd let you just give us your full suggestion on what we should do.
Right on.
Okay, the first question I have, which I think everybody would like to know, is now, and for those who don't know, a squeeze page is where you ask your people for something. So you either ask them for their name and address, their email address is what I'm referring to, or in many cases you ask them for money.
Right.
So what I want to ask you, which I think everybody would like to know, is when you go to a Google ad and you see, or you create a Google ad and people click on that and they go to it, should that there be the squeeze page, or would it not be better to have something there, like let's say free information or something really enticing that makes them go to another page for the squeeze, or does that not make a difference?
There's a little bit of a case for take them to a second page where they actually, like, for example, you pitch them on your free hot sheet, let's say, that you're giving away, and then it says, in order to get that, click here now, and then it takes them to a second page, and that's where the opt-in form is. Now, the reason that that's good is actually because it means that they went to more than one page on your website. And Google likes that. It reduces your bounce rate. The bounce rate is how many people visit one page and then click the back button and don't go anywhere else. So Google likes to see that they went further than that. So that'll help your quality score. In the old days, you didn't have to be concerned about stuff like that, but it matters now.
And if I'm not mistaken, that quality, and that's this I learned from you, if that quality score is higher, then we pay less money per click or per visitor.
Yes, that's true. And what it tends to be, it's like if your quality score is decent, you'll be okay. But if it's poor, they'll just, like, if it's a poor quality score, they'll just, like, stick your minimum bid at $5 or something, and you're out. Like, you don't even have a chance. And so, you know, that's kind of how they weed out bad advertisers. So you have to be wary of that.
Okay. Next question is, in general, I know that everybody's got, you know, different amounts of money and different stuff, but when you have a project, I want to get an idea of, if you had an idea or suggested budget per test. You know, my dad used to always recommend doing a 5,000 name test, when in reality what he often did was a 1,000 name test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there, and with Google Ads, so everybody also knows, Google Ads, when you pay money, that's guaranteed visitors. You're not paying, so hoping that people might go to it, where you're posting an ad, because most people think of an ad as something there for people to have the option. The truth is, this is an ad for people to have an option, but you only pay for people who actually visit. So, do you think, per Google ad, is there like a budget test price that you would, an average that you would suggest?
Well, it depends. It depends on two things, and that's the price of the clicks and the like the price of your offer. But generally speaking, I would say you are starting to have a pretty useful test when you get above, say, 500 visitors. If you buy 500 visitors, that's enough to, first of all, test quite a few different Google ads and see which ones get the most clicks. If you're collecting opt-ins, if you got 500 visitors, if you had a 15% opt-in rate, then that would be 75 opt-ins. Okay, well, you know, an opt-in list of 75 people, you can do some, like, real actual market research with that. At the very least, you could send them all an email and say, hi, my name is Bond, and I saw that you just signed up for my free hot sheet, and I was wondering what kind of problem you're trying to solve right now. And they would tell you, and you could have a conversation with potential buyers.
Okay, good.
And so if a click costs 20 cents, then 500 visitors is $100. And if it's $2, then it's $1,000.
Okay. Let's see. Another question I had, how many keywords would do you suggest, or is that how break that down for us exactly?
Okay, that's very good. You know, I tend to take the approach now where rather than doing hundreds or thousands of keywords, I will do one or maybe five keywords that I know are good.
Okay.
Like, I know that people who search this keyword buy stuff because I can look at all the other advertisers' websites, and I can watch those advertisers for a month, and they're steady. It's not like there's a revolving door of advertisers here. There's people making money in this market, and this is a good keyword. Like, okay, red wagons is a good keyword because I sell red wagons, right?
Okay.
And usually I'll start out with, I'll just bid on, like, red wagons in brackets, which is exact match, red wagons in quotes, which is phrase match, and maybe red wagons broad match, but maybe not even broad match. I might start out, so that's like two keywords, and then I'll write a few red wagon ads, and I'll have my red wagon landing page, and I'll go, okay, what happens here? And it's ultra, ultra simple and stripped down, and there's no ambiguity about what's going on there at all. And then you can see how it works. And then based on that, you can expand to other keywords. That's how I do it.
Terrific. Okay, with the words that I've sent you, and this is also going to apply to a lesson for everybody. I talk to people about the vernacular on the web and, you know, the literacy of people. You know, and I think that on the web, I may be mistaken, and I think it varies from group to group. I think when you're looking at financial investors, you're looking at people with a higher vocabulary. But sometimes, you know, I find myself going to a dictionary, a thesaurus, and finding that I've overmissed some simple word, like, for example, like recession versus bad economy.
Right.
You know, and makes me wonder, you know, which do I think will become more potent? You know, which is more likely to be typed in? You
right.
know, by the people I'm looking for. Do you have any theory on, you know, and I'll give you another example, that, you know, they always said that newspapers, they tend to write in a fifth grade vocabulary format.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when, you know, when you're writing ads for newspapers, you don't want to go beyond that yourself.
Correct.
So my question is there any kind of rule of thumb for that with internet advertising and keywords?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to take you in kind of a weird direction here because you're advertising an information product that's about how to survive a tough economy and prosper stuff, right?
That and turning it into basically a financial newsletter so that it can go on and be its own thing like my father's.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So, now, yes, I'm going for opt-ins is my prize.
So I'm going to take you in a weird direction here based on my experience, okay? If you bid on a keyword like economy or recession or something like that, especially if it was a single word like that, that is a very dicey proposition because you don't really know what that actually means to people and what the context is when they type to that in. Like what exactly is the question behind that word?
Exactly. Somebody could be typing in recession wanting to know just what does that mean.
Right. It could be a fifth grader doing a little paper. It could be, you know, it could be any number of things, right?
But if I chose words like, let's say, survive and recession, not making it, you know, a phrase match, but both words have to be there, would that be more accurate, more directing?
It's a much better bet. Now, what you don't know is, am I getting like, some lady in Arkansas who, you know, works at a shoe store? or am I getting like a successful entrepreneur, or you know who? So you have no idea what kind of person you're getting. Now you could do the experiment, you could get the traffic, and you can try. Mm-hmm. But with those kind of words, that's kind of dicey. But let me tell you what I think for what you're talking about is probably a better strategy.
Great.
You know, your dad wrote some really brilliant headlines, and you know, you've got this giant swipe file of ideas. I remember there was one, it was something like legal cocaine substitute or something. It was totally hilarious. I don't know if you remember that. But you know, just some really eye-catching things. Now, there's this phenomenon on the content network of Google, which is when Google shows ads on websites all across the internet, like the New York Times website or on somebody's blog, okay? And those ads, they're just like the Google ads on the search engine, but you're getting people based on, like you've been on keywords, and Google says, well, I think this ad belongs on this website here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so here's kind of how that works. If let's say that you sell goldfish and you write a goldfish ad, what Google's going to do is it's going to go find goldfish sites that run Google ads, and they're going to stick your ad on there, and they're going to watch to see if people click. And if they do, then they'll keep showing your ads, but they'll also do something else. They'll start trying your ads on other fish sites. Like maybe they'll run them on betta sites, and maybe, and if it works there, they'll try running them on pet sites. Okay? And Google will keep showing those ads more and more and more places.
Uh-huh.
And there's this term I coined a couple years ago. I call it the jet stream, which is there's a certain kind of ad that shows everywhere, like regardless of the keyword or the topic. Okay? Now I'll give you an example of one. There is an ad that used to run, it was all over the place a couple years ago. It said, I was scammed 37 times. These websites are absolute scams. I will show you the ones that work. Danny'sScamReview.com. Okay? Now, that ad was doing something very similar to what you're trying to do, which was sell how to make money kind of information. And they were selling an ebook, and they had affiliates, and they were selling coaching programs, and they had telemarketers, and they had this whole big thing going on. Okay? Now, that ad, you know, I was scammed 37 times, people related that to that so well that it just went crazy on the internet. It was all over the place, and they did millions of dollars of business. Now, given the kind of copy that you guys write, that's the place where you would get the most traction. It would not be on words like Survivor Session or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, okay, if you go to the New York Times website, like right now, and go down to the bottom, you'll see Google ads there, and probably 50% chance you will see some kind of like a diet ad there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you'll the kind of stuff that your dad did a lot of work in, things like mass appeal consumer offers and stuff like that.
So if the headline is that provocative, it'll get spread on its own as long as people are happy with what they're clicking on, too.
Yes, yes. And then all you have to do, there's one other step. You have to run something called you have to track conversions and run something called a placement performance report and start eliminating sites that bring tiger kickers that never buy anything. And once you do that, you could be in the jet stream. I mean, I'm like Planet Gary Halbert. That's like embraces the jet stream.
Okay.
Okay, and it's all about writing that ad that is just so compelling you can't stand it. You have to click on it and see what it is.
Okay, I gotcha. And come from a perspective where they, you know, they're compelled because they also because they've experienced it as well.
Right, right. And I mean, I think that the jet stream strategy is, I mean, if you want to make serious money with Google AdWords, that is where it is made.
So something along the lines of more like, you know, I finally found a safe place to invest my money where I'm in this economy or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get into the point where, you know, this is really what everybody wants to know, and just do it from that point, and then go in, give a letter that transitions to, and if you want to know more, click over to this page and opt in, you'll get my free newsletter.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure you're familiar with, like, the Double Your Dating guys.
Yes.
And that is where those guys are getting,
their traction.
That's where they're getting most of their traffic. They got one for women too, like takebackyourheart.com. You know, learn the real secret why you're attracted to jerks and players. Well, women everywhere relate to that. And so they click on it, and then they go and they opt in, and they get on this email autoresponder that goes on for, it's like Chinese water torture for a year. Okay?
Yeah.
And that is a powerful success formula. And, I mean, you guys could pull that off.
Yes, and we can also, and we can, yeah, you know what? That's brilliant. This has been very fruitful, great information. Okay, that means actually I'm going to start looking at rewriting that ad completely. Any tips on getting that started as far as, like, you know, first contact of where we should go?
Well, you're certainly going to bid on keywords, and, you know, bidding on keywords like recession and surviving a recession and all that's fine. But what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to separate search from content.
Okay.
So, like, when you create a Google campaign, Google automatically runs your ads on both sides of that fence. They'll run it on Google, and they'll also run it out in the content network, and they'll just mix the results together in your AdWords account. But what you should do is actually separate them, and you have one campaign you turn on Google and you turn off content, and the other campaign you turn off Google, you turn on content, and you just manage them separately. And so initially you can get some early results just from the Google searches, but what's going on over the content side, it's like that goldfish thing where it takes a while for Google to sort of calibrate to what you're doing and to start showing your ads some places and to figure out where they work. And so what you want to do is you want to imagine a typical consumer, you know, above average ambition Homer Simpson guy. You know, you picture that guy in your mind and you go, okay, this is who I'm talking to. I know there's a lot of these people out there, so you get really clear, and then you write the ad to that person, and Google will start finding those people almost automatically, and then you just have to filter out the ones that don't buy.
Okay, great. Okay. I have a couple questions.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Now you're aware of what, you know, the endeavor we're going into, what keywords would you be choosing?
I would do keywords like make money, certainly. Now that's ferociously competitive, but so it's new. I'd build a separate campaign for words like recession. You'd probably end up building like 20 different campaigns and different keywords for each one and different ads for different keywords. And not only that, multiple ads on each keyword, just testing to see what happens. Because the whole Jetstream strategy is you test everything and you question everything and you don't assume anything. Like, you don't even assume that your website has the right URL.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, like, you go by 20 domain names and you test all of them.
Okay.
And this is, that's, by the way, is a huge secret to success. You might find for some keywords this domain works better. For other keywords, that domain works better. So you start with what you think is a decent idea, and then you just start testing stuff like crazy.
Can you then bounce everybody to a main site? So, for example, let's suppose I wanted to create the bonhalbertletter.com.
Yeah.
And then have, and then all these different sites and campaigns would eventually bounce it to that content, so that basically I'm controlling all I'm doing is providing the content or the talent as it is, and Kevin is, you know, directing all these sites.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine.
Okay, just making sure that doesn't detract from anything.
Okay. I also have another question. You know, like everyone else does this, you know, it's like when you look at infomercials or, you know, like things like, I don't know if you've seen ShamWow commercials and all that stuff, you see what gets repeated. But, you know, what we're looking at, we go, hey, you know, this is what our ad campaign is and this is what we're trying to do, and we want to look at what the other guy is doing. How is there a way to reverse sort of engineer what keywords he's buying instead of, you know, seeing his name and seeing what shows up next to it, but actually go, oh, he purchased these ones, even though I looked around and couldn't find them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there are several ways that you can do that. The sort of cheap, quick, and dirty way is a site called spyfu.com, spyfu.com, and you can type in a website, and it'll tell you what keywords they're bidding on. Now, it's a partial list. They actually have to guess. They have to guess keywords because there's no way they can go get the guy's keyword list.
Okay,
so it's always kind of incomplete, but that's a start. There's another site called adguru.com, adgooro.com, and you could subscribe. I think they got a $90 a month version. They get a $400 a month version. They do much more exhaustive market research on your competitors. I'll tell you a couple other. Here's a technique that's really useful. Okay, what if you could open a magazine and automatically know the highest response 20% of the ads in that magazine, and all the other ones got X'd out, and only the good ones were visible. Okay, you can do that on Google. Here's how you do it. What you do, let's say the keyword, and I'm going to try this live. This is unrehearsed. I'm going to type in survive recession followed by some garbage characters.
Okay.
Let me try a different. Let me try red wagon followed by some garbage characters. Hang on a second. I'm sorry about this.
No, it's no problem. This is great.
Give me a second.
I'm doing the same thing.
I'm going to type in.
There really is a big market for those red wagons.
Okay, here's an example. I type in make space money space and some garbage characters like 123ABC. Okay, nobody's bidding on make money 123ABC, so Google has to go, well, what's something close to this? Well, what they will do is Google will only show the ads that get really high click-through rates. Like, there's hundreds of advertisers on the phrase make money, but if I type in make money 2033K, I get three ads.
I got them too.
And these are the three ads that are getting the best click-through rates on Google. So this is a way of narrowing down your competition search
to the best of the best.
You know who the best ones are. And if you actually like get out a piece of paper and you analyze these ads, like, okay, what are they promising? What are they not promising? What, you know, are they saying that something is free or it costs a certain amount of money? Or are they saying why you should believe them? Or are they making some kind of an offer?
Right.
I mean, you can look at all that stuff and go, wow, okay. So what people respond to is, in this market, free and fast. Make money free. You won't get rich, but you can make a realistic $200 to $5,000 a month. ProjectPayday.com.
I got the same exact one. To make $10 in 5 minutes is the next one. Yeah, he's right. I mean, they're identical.
Free list of paid surveys. Make $150 an hour for free.
Right
now.
Make right? $300 in 7 minutes.
Same three ads.
Yeah, right.
No, you might see different ads tomorrow, but...
How about on the right? Let me ask you that. On the right, is the top one Beware Make Money Scams? Sponsored links?
I do not... Well, I don't... I only see three the way I typed it out.
Oh, okay. No. I'm talking about the Google ads on the side. These are the ones that I get up on top that are, you know, I have like, in any case, it just shows a different thing. But no, I see exactly what you're talking about. Those are my three.
Okay. And if you see more than I do, that's not unusual.
No. What I see is they have on the side, they have sponsored links, and it's a whole list of different websites that obviously bought Make Money but don't care what else was punched in.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's all it is.
Right. So we want the ones on top. Or
yeah, those ones. Wait. Those ones that you see on the left and that are in the that come up like a regular search are the ones that you want the most.
Well, no, I mean the ones on the right.
Well, they're on the left on my screen. The ones they're on the right on yours. That's all. Because the top three on mine is make money free, make $10 in 5 minutes, make $300 in 7 minutes.
Okay, so you're seeing them up
on the
across
left.
The center, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so that's fine as long as they're sponsored links, they count.
Yes,
but does one of them? Do the three that are, like when on my search results, the three that are right on top, you know, when you would list your results and you'd go down the list,
mm-hmm.
instead of the stuff that's in the right margin.
Which is the Google Ads.
Well, they're both us.
I know, but these one is, okay.
But
one shows up as a search result.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Sponsored nope. search results.
Well, it shows up
position,
as long you only pay attention to the sponsored links.
Right. Yeah, Perry, which one do you prioritize? The ones that are on top of your research results or the stuff in the right margin?
Okay, the ones on top are doing better than the ones on the side.
That's what I thought.
Google only puts them on top if they're doing really well.
Okay. Gotcha. That's what I thought.
So no matter how many come up, it's considerably narrow compared to when you type it in the regular way.
Yeah, because they can only leave so much. They can only push down the results so much, but the right side, the sky's the limit for how many they can squeeze in there.
Right. The best way to do it is if you kind of play with different things that you type in until you get like only three or four or five ads show up, and that's all you see, then you've kind of isolated the very best ads in that market.
Exactly.
I also like how they synopsize in this, like. You know, 15 words or less, exactly what needs to be said to make them click on something.
Exactly.
Well, you're also limited, too. We also, so just to make everybody who's listening clear, actually do type in make space, money space, and any garbage, because me and Perry typed in different garbage letters.
Right.
And there'll be, regardless of how you have your format, because everybody's got different Google layouts, you will get at least one thing will happen for sure. You will get three highlighted sponsored results. The first one will be make money free. If you're doing this within the next couple of days, this isn't going to change.
Probably not.
Yeah, so look at the ones that are coming up as though they would be on top of a search result. That's what, you know, that's what happens. Google does, in my view, or at least not my view, my version, Google gives up, when you punch in a search engine or a search, you get two things. You get a list of links, and the ones on the very top are highlighted, and those are sponsored and paid for. And then on the right, they have as many Google ads as they can fit in. That's what Kevin was talking about. So you're both right. It's the one on top, and it should be the one with the very few ads. It shouldn't be the one. It should be the one with, let's say, in this case, it's three. It really is. But I see the other Google ads that we were speaking of. And if it has to be, we'll take a snapshot of this and post it on the site, too.
Yeah, I would just do that. And, you know, what comes up when you do that is just awesome feedback from the marketplace.
That's terrific. I really want to thank you. Okay, Kevin, do you have any other questions?
No, I'm good for now.
We've got lots of homework. I hope you don't mind if we have a follow-up call or two
let's
get started.
And understand that this is, you're going to zig and zag for a while before you kind of latch on to a strategy that's really working. But if you understand that, you know, you tap into the mentality of consumers and exactly what people are thinking and feeling right now, you know, you can put that in a Google ad, and that thing will go crazy. It takes about 2 or 3 months for a Jetstream ad to really go Jetstream once you've got the formula right. But, I mean, I've seen people just be enormously successful once they got that whole thing going. And then if you got a back-end process on there where you can get a lot of money out of the traffic and then feed it back in, then you can increase your bid prices, and the thing that just goes crazy.
Yeah, we're gonna have back ends that are gonna range everything from small till for bid $60 to thousands, multi thousands. So
perfect.
And that way we're covering the whole range of everybody. That way we can go for a very broad shot at everybody interested in financial info.
You bet.
Okay, great. Perry, thank you very much.
Thank you both. Bye to Kevin. Let me know when you get to the next step, and we'll help you out.
Okay, great.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.